Coming up on TMS, am I eating a hot dog or a rusty penny?
I don't like freezing beans.
A questionable hot dog.
Weird old 80s screws.
Alexa had a stroke.
The cops were not her only fans.
Hold on. It's my fault. I set off my echo. Sorry. Your thing again. Do the cops again.
The cops were not her only fans.
Fig Newton juice.
Nobody wants to see Carl.
The devil's eyes are made of cheese.
Mash up ketchup.
Making a bigger hole so it hangs properly.
Road meat only for Dolly.
Organized religion is a load of flam.
Watching the science sausage being made with Bobby, not Bill.
Worm tongue in his ear with Bill. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Satan has come back to haunt us. Lucifer, the devil, the Antichrist, overlord of hell and all demons. This creature who was so real and so frightening to our forefathers, but who withdrew in more enlightened times, has returned with a vengeance.
Well, what's next? Garbage.
What's up, Harry? Did NASA find oil on Uranus? This is The Morning Stream with Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to DMS. It is The Morning Stream for Tuesday, February 1st. Mm-hmm. February. Gosh dang.
It's that first R, right? I mean, we all know it's there. It's not hiding. It's not invisible, February, but it's just so hard to throw a brew, February.
Who is in charge of that? I know it's like based on like, I don't know, ancient Greek gods or whatever.
Let's see. It was the
those a-holes.
Manchurian calendar, not Manchurian.
Manchurian candidate.
Gregorian calendar.
The Gregorian
Every
candidate.
Every time I see the Queen of Hearts, it makes me think of June. I don't know what it is.
It makes me think of, wait, not Kim Carnes, who playing with the Queen of Hearts. Who does that? Music
that would
question.
Juice Newton.
Juice Newton.
Yes. Not originally, though. Dave Edmonds recorded it before Juice Newton.
Oh, my Lord. The knowledge bomb you just dropped. I had no idea.
And Dave Edmonds' version is far better. He wasn't the first, but he was, in my opinion, the best version of
this. Well, I will say this. Growing up, hearing Juice Newton, her name being mentioned for things, I remember thinking that was a real bad combo. I used to think of orange juice and
juice
Fig Newtons.
And Newtons?
Yeah, that's
Fig
bad.
Newtons and juice?
That's a bad combo.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you like Fig Newtons anyway?
I like them okay. They're all right. Once in a while, you bite into like
I have not had a Fig Newton in a really long time, but I would think, you know, orange juice and Fig Newtons would be fine.
Oh, I think that sounds just like a, whoa, I don't know
Does
why
really?
That sounds bad. Doesn't that sound bad? It's like toothpaste and orange juice kind of combo.
No, because they're on the same kind of flavor profile. It's not like a junior mint and orange juice, right?
There's
like
another good one, yeah. Like, that's a good one.
I guess it is Girl Scout cookie time. A Thin Mints and orange juice.
Oh yeah, we ordered a bunch of those. A very nice little girl and her dad came by the door, and you know we're suckers, so we went ahead and did that.
We have not had any Girl Scout cookie solicitors come to our door. Even though I mean we've got a solicitor's sign, but the people who, The people who've come in the past, the Girl Scouts that have come in the past, have ignored that sign. We hope that they continue ignoring that sign. But we gotta get some.
We like when the kids have something to do. You know, we gotta get them out there, get them going. It's nothing wrong with that. That's good.
Exactly. Yeah. Catalyst Papanero in the chat room says those pictures on the far left of Coverville's screen look like porn, but it isn't. I think it's an ad for Shakes, and believe me, I got really close to the screen to check.
All right, another music lesson for you. Brian, explain what that is for...
That is the album The Who Sell Out, and you're seeing Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey before they got old. Roger Daltrey in a bathtub of ice-cold Heinz baked beans. He had to sit in that bathtub with those freezing beans.
Wow, it makes you feel alive, Brian. Alive.
That's right, but you will notice it is hanging, right? It is in the proper place.
Yeah, I noticed. What'd you do? Oh, you went ahead and got. I forgot you did this whole thing. Oh,
I got the hooks.
You got the hooks. He's got the hooks. What in the world could keep his hooks from being hooked?
Right. That's what it looks like right there. You stick some command strips on the back, you stick it on, and
nice.
And nice little hook. This is probably more information than anybody would want, but we did talk about this on the show, so it's kind of like a follow-up.
Yeah, why not?
So you see on this hook, you see the top of that nail, right? The head of that nail is big and wide.
Yeah, yeah.
Wider than the hole that's on the back of the album cover frame. I had to take a drill yesterday and make a bigger hole in the drill in the album cover frame so that I could put that over the nail and then lower it down, because it's you get a long let's just let Jamie have all these. So you've got a long slit and you've got to put the nail in the bottom of the slit and then let the nail go to the top to hang it there.
Right. Of the slit. Yeah.
Of the slit. I mean, that's what it is. Or I guess it's a slot.
Yeah,
it's
a slot, slit, slot. I don't know. What do you call them? You don't play the slits in Vegas. Actually, you kind of do. You can. You can play the slits and the slots.
You can play both, yes.
Yeah, the slit slots. That went places.
Holy cow.
Very nice. So there you go. Brian puts an album there, and it's not always the same album. It changes here and there.
No, it's going to change to something else tomorrow. You'll have to see what it is.
So is it a daily switch up, or do you do it?
No. Okay. No, it's a switch up whenever I pick up something new that I'm listening to. Yeah. I've got a turntable here on my left, and every once in a while I'll put on an album as vinyl to listen to, just to get the fun experience of having to do stuff after I listen to four songs, to flip an album over manually after I listen to four songs.
Nice. Hey, I got a question. Sort of goes with what you were just saying, because you're talking about drilling holes and stuff and trying to make it work with the hanger you bought and all that. Trying to figure out what I'm going to do with this sit-down cocktail machine that my dad made in the 80s, and I'm trying to rebuild. So I put some video up of it. Some people, I think, probably saw it on Twitter. But the whole deal there is
just a regular cocktail table, right?
Yeah, except he built it with his own design. So it's like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the whole thing is like completely not what you think. Like if you think of a cocktail sit down,
arcade machine.
You would normally see it as like flat and long, almost kind of like the table, and then you'd sit down there, and your controls would be kind of down below the table. Yeah. This thing is more like a, I don't know, it's more like something you'd see in front of somebody in Star Trek, like a weird
console. So is
console
it
thing.
Is it angled?
It is, but it's also, but it's on both sides, so it meets in the middle. So you have it's two players, so you have somebody on both sides. But it's less designed to be a table where you could put beers and drinks and food.
Right, right.
With a tiny screen in the middle. This is a big 19-inch CRT with nothing but screen space, so it's actually really not for anything but playing games.
Yeah.
Anyway, he built like a whole ton of these on his own.
So it's really two CRTs then, right? Like one on each side of the
thing? No, it's just one CRT, and it flips, the orientation flips, yeah. So so let's say you're playing single player or two player Donkey Kong would work this way. So you play Donkey Kong on there and you take turns. So, my Jumpman has died, and the machine would go flip, and now you're player two.
Okay. Oh, that's really slick. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Anyway, so it's this old thing. He built these by hand. It was before, it was when he was just trying to figure out what he was going to do. And these went in like Pizza Huts and arcades and all kinds of stuff back in the day. Well, I ended up with one of them. I wish I had more, but I only got the one. Most of his stuff was lost in a storage auction that no one knew about after he died. Pissed me off. Anyway, because I would have had access to 300 or so CRTs, brand new, never used.
Yeah.
Stand up, sit down models, all this stuff, and it all got, it makes me sick. Anyway, so the point is, I'm working on that thing, and there's a bunch of weird old 80s screws in this thing. And
what is it like, 80s screws like, what, they've got the three, the triangular?
Yeah. The one. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a few of those. Then there's some regular Phillips flathead. And then there's some that are just like rivets. I don't even know how you get them out. There's all these questions about how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to have to figure it out. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm looking at the video right now that you put on Twitter. I like that you have the propane tanks placed hazardously at all, directly next to this thing.
Not a problem. Just right there and, so actually, those two tanks are actually, I think they're empty. I'd have to ask Kim, actually. She'd know.
So I mean, you know, your first thing, really, you're just going to take all the guts out and put in a new monitor, a new flat screen monitor, put in a RetroPie Raspberry Pi box.
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm going
to
tear it.
And probably, I hate to say, you're probably going to change out the controls too, because
you need
more than left, right, and fire laser.
Yeah, it's not enough. It's those are absolutely getting yanked out. I'll probably keep one of them in kind of a mounted something, because it's just he made this and had it printed that way. I'd love to ask him, why fire laser? Like, did you think it was going to be Galaga till the end of time? Like, what were you doing here?
What about jump? What about games where a jump is required?
Yeah. And these were early on in the business when everything was a Space Invaders ripoff. In fact, I'm pretty sure the board in there, which doesn't work anymore, but the main board in there is like Galaxian or something, which back and forth and shoot, and that's all you had. But anyway, that's all got to be torn out and then sort of redone. So there's work to be done, but I want to preserve the homemadiness of it,
The console itself.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
I forgot what the point of my whole screw question was, though. I had a screw question.
Well, you can get screwdrivers. You can get bits for a cordless screwdriver that have the triangular deal on them.
Okay. Where would you go to get that?
Your regular hardware store. I have an Ace a block away. That's where I would go.
Get them online too, I guess.
Home Depot, Lowe's. You could get them online. You could get them at Amazon.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do there.
But the rivets you'll have to drill. You'll have to drill those out.
Yeah, we'll call them drivets after I've done it.
Drivets. Yeah. Sure, exactly.
Yeah, that'll be no problem. How about this? Do you have any experience dealing with old CRTs that are heavy and still hold a charge, in fact have a greater charge over time, and they'll shock you and kill you?
Where the capacitors actually still have some
they have a bunch of juice, because apparently Carter touched this exact thing a year or two ago, didn't know, just put her hand in there like, oh, look at that, and it zapped her hard. She was like, whoa. Geez. So I don't want to do that again.
Get some work gloves when you take that out, and then just gently, very gently, set it on the doorstep of a neighbor that you don't like.
Okay, I'm going to do that.
In the middle of the night.
All right, next door. I'll check the next door app in the morning. Make sure.
Exactly.
Make sure that.
Yeah. Figure out who's got the Ring doorbell, and then do that. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, I'm sorry, I have to bring this up.
Sure.
The next door app.
Oh, by the way, hold on a sec. Let me just show. You know, we're talking retro.
Yeah.
Let me show off my shirt here.
Oh, look at this. Oh, that's very
Atari
nice.
Atari shirt.
Like Ryan Gosling's ship could fly over that, and I would go, yeah, look at that. I love that they kept that into that new movie. That was great.
I did too, yeah.
It's like Atari's all but dead, and they still use the logo.
They still have the logo.
Yeah, that's great. Anyway, next door app. Kim's reading something on there, and there was a thing about somebody stealing a package, or I don't know what it was. That's not even important. What's important is they were having this huge threaded conversation where, like, I don't know, 20 people had dove into this convo going back and forth. And at the very bottom, some guy pipes in and goes, you guys have too much free time. And I went, isn't that the guy with the ultimate amount of free time? Because he doesn't even need to be here. He doesn't need to be here at all. He doesn't want to be here. This is talk he doesn't care about.
Conversation doesn't pertain to him. Oh, I hope you did. I hope that was what you commented.
I went back in there and said, well, I said, somebody in this thread has more time than anyone else. And I just kind of left it at that, a little winky face, you know. I don't know if he'll get it. He may not be that bright.
I don't think that. I think that might be too subtle.
Annoying. Here's the other annoying thing. And I don't know if this happened to you, but the Amazon A word, let's call it the Echo, had an outage. For like a chunk of time. And,
oh, really?
And you were gone, yesterday? I think. No, this was a couple days ago. Okay. I think you were still gone.
Okay.
And so you wouldn't have experienced this, which is, I really hated it. So this made me question whether I want, and now the chat's going to go off about whether you should have one or not, and Jeannie will never own one and all that. Okay, I got it. I'm not looking at the chat. Here's what happens. Mm-hmm. 11:45 or so at night, I'm finally drifting off to sleep. Mm-hmm. And here's what I hear. I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're saying right now. Please check later. And I look over at it like, really? what the frick, dude? And it was loud. It was like cranked way up.
Yeah.
And it just yells at us in the middle of the night. And I thought, whatever that was, I'll just go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. Try to.
Yeah.
10 minutes later. I'm sorry. I'm still having trouble understanding what you're asking. I'm not prompting it. There's nobody saying the A word. Anyway, so apparently this was part of some outage, glitch, freak out that the whole system, the entirety of the ALEXA, however you spell it, was having kind of Amazon-wide. And so everybody with one was either having trouble. Oh, the other thing is the lights in my backyard, which are like we have strung up kind of Christmassy looking, but it's just meant for ambiance in the summer. But anyway, those are outside. And those are going on and off rapidly for no reason. And they're connected to a smart plug or a smart outlet, which is connected to the Echo, and we control it with the Echo. So if we're putting the dogs out to pee at night, I'll go, A word, turn on lights, and it will do that. And they'll go, you know, now they have light outside. Yeah. Well, it's just out there going blip, blop, blip, blop, blip, blop, blip, blop, just on and off, on and off, on and off. And no one's asked it to. No one said anything. So we were having like this maximum overdrive problem in the house.
Right.
It sucked.
She has become self-aware.
Yeah, and I wonder if anybody else had that happen to them or if we were the only ones. I talked to a couple people online. They were like, yeah, ours was being weird all night. Or mostly it was people trying to get things done with it, and it wouldn't work. It would say, I can't do it right now or whatever. But this like blurting out, I can't understand you. I don't buy into the conspiracies that these things are listening to us all the time and that being spied on.
Because they have to hear us say the A word, but they're not.
Right.
You know, I don't think that this information is being recorded and sent to anyone outside of Amazon. It's just like when you tell her, no, that's not what I want. Do this.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that probably does trigger something that gets sent to Amazon QA for. So they can figure out what's going on.
And even if they did, so here's the thing. A, I don't believe that they do anything weird and nefarious with it.
No.
B, even if they did, I really don't care. I don't say anything like that. But I'm not going, my credit card number is, I don't do that. What's the worst it's going to hear me say? My mother-in-law is kind of a cranky bee today. Like, I don't, what's it going to do? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I get me in trouble there. But anyway, I just don't care. So anyway, the point is, they're very useful normally. But not then. That sucked.
Yeah. That's irritating. Mine still Friday is at 5 p.m. And I just need to finally turn it off. But she started doing this on her own, saying, would you like me to start an activity, whatever she calls, like a talent or whatever the word is.
A skill.
A skill, thank you. That's the freaking word I was looking for. Would you like me to start a skill for Fridays at 5 to help get you into the weekend?
No.
Like, no, because really, is when we're done with TMS PM, that's when my weekend starts, baby. It starts earlier than this 5 p.m. archaic 9 to 5 job BS.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I don't like when she starts going, or if I'll say, hey, A-word, clear my notifications. And she'll go, clearing your notifications. By the way, did you know that I can... It's like, no. I've told you what I want to tell you. You're done. Stop talking, you sentient monkey. Don't do it.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, also, I think maybe part of the problem last night, I wasn't feeling very well. Let's just use this clip to explain.
Diarrhea.
I had a weird hot dog, a questionable hot dog in the day.
A questionable hot dog. All right, cool.
Yeah, just going to mention this real quick. So, older beef dog in the fridge, been in there for a while, don't know how long. Mm-hmm. Thought, well, that's not going to eat itself.
Questionable hot dog is my Frank Black cover band.
Nice. Very nice.
Frank.
I thought, I actually did think Dogrito at first because I thought, well, do I have tortillas? But I didn't. So I didn't make one. Instead, I just got a regular bun, and those were fresher and new, so those are no big deal. But the dog itself, maybe a little sketchy. Didn't really think about it. Didn't trace back my memory as to when these were purchased. I just, threw it in the microwave, heated it up, and went for it.
Sure.
Kim made these amazing pickled onions. I put those in there. Like, it made a nice, like a good, well-dressed hot dog, but I'm pretty sure that beef dog was
past its prime.
Yeah. So anyway,
did it taste funny, or I guess you couldn't tell, right, because of all the stuff you put on it?
Yeah, it didn't taste funny or bad. Maybe there was a hint this is going to sound gross. There was a hint of rust, you know, like a penny. I don't know if you ever had a penny in your mouth when you were a kid, but that kind
of, I have.
That taste of a penny. There's a little bit of that.
So that's how we, that was like a toddler vaccine, basically.
Yeah.
Like you put a penny in your mouth and you were prepared for any diseases, any viruses, bacteria, anything that comes your way.
Yeah, you were inoculated immediately. So, kind of the taste of blood a little bit there, Saban, in the chat.
Interesting.
It was weird. And I remember at the time going, oh, well, that's that ain't good. And then by 8 o'clock.
Diarrhea.
So don't do that. I'm just warning people. Let my mistakes be your lessons today.
There you go. Good. Good.
Okay. Yeah. So take that.
It could have been worse, right? I mean,
it could have been way worse.
Some furts, whatever.
Yeah, I could have broken my barf streak.
No kidding. Yes.
Yeah, and I wasn't even like nauseous or anything, but my barf streak still stands. 2005,
July.
Let
me ask you something, though.
Yeah.
If you were to break your barf streak,
yeah.
Would you tell us?
Oh, hell yeah. I would totally
tell you.
You
would,
okay. Oh, all yeah, right. We'd have to share it, of course. I mean, for the show, absolutely. I guess you
did tell us about your no alcohol streak.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yes. And it's still, that one's still just an international broken streak. I have the national streak. Except, I guess, you know what, technically.
The Americas. It's broken in the Americas,
that
Scott.
That one trip to Vegas, this was before any TMS Vegases. It was just us going out there, and you were there, I was there, Randy and Sam were there.
I think we were picking up a we were there for the podcast awards.
That's what it was.
Todd and his fantastic PowerPoint skills.
That's right. Oh, whoops, I showed the winner. Anyway, your nominees are.
Exactly.
So we were there, and I remember Randy got some cereal-based
shake. He did. It was like a Captain Crunch shake or a Fruity Pebbles shake with alcohol in it.
I tasted that. So I didn't drink anything, but I did taste it. And it was, you know. I
didn't inhale it, but I drank it.
It tasted like bad cereal is what it tasted like to me. It did.
I'm not I don't like donuts with cereal stuck on them. Sorry, Voodoo Donuts. Not into it. And I don't like milkshakes based on cereal. But I do like everything else I've had at that restaurant. That's Holstein's in the Cosmopolitan. And, oh, my God, the best burgers there.
Oh, yeah. Those are good, right?
Really good. We went there a second time with Tetsemi and Mikala and the whole family for another trip out there. It was just great.
I am surprised. JC Calhoun? Yeah, he says, I'm surprised nobody's ever been tempted to slip some alcohol into my drink. I mean, maybe they have. I've never noticed.
Yeah.
I would notice, though, I think. I think I'd notice. Wouldn't I?
Yeah.
But
I think you'd say this Pepsi tastes weird or something. Yeah.
Right. But also, if a friend did that, that's like, you're spiking. You don't want to spike your friends. That's bad. Don't do that.
No. It's like, because I'd want to go and say, hey, you know that drink you just had?
Yeah.
Had booze in it.
Yeah. And I'll be like, damn, dude. Yeah. Where all my milkshakes bring the boys to the yard.
And that was the last episode of TMS ever.
Now the new chapter.
What's great is Sam Jane is in the chat room, and she was there for your little alcohol sampling in Vegas, and she says it was indeed a Captain Crunch milkshake.
Yeah, which sounds great until you taste it, and then you go, I didn't. I thought it was gross. But it's whatever. You know why? It tasted like wet cereal, like cold-ish wet cereal that was left out. I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my Captain Crunch milkshake brings all the leprechauns to the yard.
Oh, that's good because they're right. And now, how's the song go?
They're like, it's better than yours, it's damn right. It's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge
my milkshake. Blah, blah, blah. I saw a really great tweet about that that said, this idea of my milkshakes bringing people to the yard is great and everything, but it makes the assumption I can afford the yard to begin with. I don't know.
I know exactly who said that. That was Claire Erskine.
Oh, was it?
This morning.
Oh, I saw it on somebody. I don't follow them, but I saw somebody retweeted
really?
I guess. Yeah.
They must have retweeted her. Yeah, she is one of my favorite. I'm sorry. Oh, no. Emily Bernstein. Sorry, it was Emily Bernstein.
I don't know who that is.
Because I follow Claire. That's who you retweeted.
Well, no, I retweeted the retweet from...
retweeted Emily Bernstein.
No, it was Kale Salad retweeted it.
And gotcha.
And then I retweeted it.
I only see Scott Johnson retweet, and the guest that only shows me the original.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it from Kale Salad, like, does all these, like...
Gotcha. Okay.
What do you call them? Viral things. That's what they do.
You should follow. I'll send you a link to Claire Erskine, because she is... She's great.
Is she a hoot?
She's hilarious. Yeah. She's a hoot.
What would I know her from?
I have no idea. I only know her from Twitter.
Oh.
I only know her from... But I think she is a stand-up comic or something.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah.
It sounds good to me. I like humor. Yeah. Humor makes me laugh. I would be happy to have more humor in my life. Let's do it.
You need more humor in your life. Less NFT, more humor.
More humor. All right. Also more news, which we're about to present in full Technicolor. Enjoy. It's the Tuesday edition of the news, and it's brought to you by...
The patron called Family Podcasts Network. I host a podcast called I Thought I Knew How. Well, I Thought I Knew How. Okay. Whew. That was a weird place for a break in the sentence.
Yeah.
I host a podcast called I Thought I Knew How that I use to talk about knitting traditions around the world and promote the use of wool and other natural fibers over their synthetic counterparts. I travel the world to talk to fiber artists and learn about how wool crafts have shaped their lives and culture. It's a niche subject, but people who get it, get it. My podcast is everywhere audio podcasts can be found, including YouTube. Mm. I'm also at I Thought I Knew How on Instagram, and there's a website at ithoughtiknewhow.com.
Very nice. Do you say niche or niche? I say niche.
I say niche.
Yeah, I should say niche or niche.
Niche, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I do it wrong.
No, I think it's... It's one of those you can say a bunch of different ways. How do you pronounce F-O-R-T-E?
Oh, Forte.
Yeah. Well, like when it's the last name of Will Forte.
Yeah.
but the original pronunciation is just Fort, F-O-R-T.
Oh.
And Forte has evolved into a secondary pronunciation of it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I'm going to say Furt. That's what I'll say.
Say Furt. Yes.
Yeah, I'll say that for now. What a lovely human. I just looked at the webpage. That's a nice human being. Very lovely.
What human being are you talking about? Oh, the Family Podcast Network.
I thought I knew how.com. Yeah. Just looks like a nice person and a very nice website. Nicely done. Well done.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on. Dolly Parton in the news.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know her, she's pissed at Jolene. What else?
She begged for her not to steal her man,
yeah.
And yet she did it.
I feel like that's the worst kind of friend. If you can't beg a friend and have him respond, what kind of friend are they? Right, well, anyway, exactly. She's in the news, and she thinks, this is important, everyone pay attention, she helped make Moderna happen, right? Remember her whole deal? She was like...
She helped fund the Moderna and sang vaccine.
Put it in my left boob if you can. Just kidding.
Yes.
I mean, she has big fleshy boobs.
Can I correct myself? Blair Erskine. I was looking for her Twitter account to send you, and I've been calling her Claire Erskine, and she's Blair Erskine.
Oh, all right. Well, that's because there's
Claire
too much
on the brain.
We have too much Claire in our lives.
Too much Claire in our lives.
You brought clarity to what you were doing, though. You brought clarity.
Ah, well done.
Yeah, see that? All right. So check this out. Dolly Parton.
Yeah, Dolly Parton.
Did not get her vaccination in her boob. She got it on her arm like the rest of us. She thinks Taco Bell should bring back the Mexican pizza.
Here, Dolly.
I already liked her. I really like her now. Here's what she says. I Will Always Love You is a beautiful song to love for about love, loss, yearning, and devotion. This is a song that Taco Bell fans probably remember. They still remember Mexican pizza. I don't know why they're making this intro in this article. I hate it.
Because, you know, they've got visitors to talk.
Yeah.
They've got SEO to fill.
They got word counts they must hit. Their quotas. Mm-hmm. All right. So Dolly Parton, the woman behind those famous lyrics, told Insider... She's a big fan of the beloved Taco Bell item. She thinks it should be brought back to menus. Dolly Parton loves to cook at home, but she revealed that she still enjoys going to fast food joints with Carl Dean, her husband.
Carl Dean.
55 plus years of marriage. Good Lord.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's great.
That is great. Good for them.
Do we ever hear from Carl Dean in any other context? Is this all we know him?
We do not. I think he's the right kind of celebrity spouse that isn't competitively popular, you know? Like,
doesn't interfere with her trajectory. He doesn't get in the way.
That's right.
Oh, here's a rare photo. And it's also, I guess it's rare to see.
I want to see what Carl Dean looks like, yeah.
I'm looking at a video here. Oh, this is back.
Wow. I mean, there's an article right here, Country Living, why Dolly Parton and husband Carl Dean keep their marriage out of the limelight. So they actively do that.
Yeah. There's an old picture here in the 80s that I will share.
Okay.
He looks like just one of us, just some schlub-looking dude here. I'll put it in our Discord here, the Canary Discord. Here it is.
Sure.
Okay. So, yeah, he's a normal guy, you know?
Oh, yeah, cute. You know, they met. She was 18. She was doing her laundry at the Wishy-Washy Laundromat.
Amazing.
When Carl drove by in his white Chevy pickup truck, he stopped to tell her she was going to get sunburned in her revealing outfit and then chatted her up as she went indoors to fold her clothes.
Wow. And that's magic right there.
That's right. Exactly. Skin shaming her led to a 55-year marriage.
Yeah. She says... I'd love to get a good burger on the highway and french fries like everybody else. Where are you getting a burger on the highway? I guess she just means on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when they're going from place to place. Yeah, sure.
But not like a road burger.
Tour.
Like, what's that on the floor? What's that on the turnpike?
On the road.
Yeah. She says we'd like to get.
Do you guys have those things in Utah on the highways? And I'm trying to remember what they're called, but it's like where the overpass is a bunch of fast food?
No.
I don't think so. What are these things called? So like you're driving down the highway and there's actually an overpass where you get off on the exit and the overpass itself. It's more than just a rest stop, Captain Kipper.
Yeah, no, rest stops don't do that anyway on overpasses, but
oasis.
I know what you're saying.
I think it's an oasis. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never seen anything like that.
And it's like, it is literally... on the road, right? You are not leaving to go into a McDonald's that's a few blocks off the highway. It is a McDonald's that is sitting above the highway that you're about to drive under.
That's actually pretty cool. Then they have a view in there, I'm guessing. They can see over
the
highway.
Yeah, you can see the highway, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Carter says that you do have one. It's on the way to St. George.
Oh, we do? Carter, where is that? Like, what part of the... is it Cedar City? They might have one. Okay.
Oasis. Yeah, I forgot that that's what those things are called.
I did not know that was a thing.
It looks like it's got an Arctic Circle and a Wendy's.
Huh. Okay. Well, when we go down there in April, we pass right through there. We'll make a point
of
this.
Take a picture of it.
Yeah. Why wouldn't we? Oh my gosh. Look at that link. All right.
Thank you, Terry Z.
Yeah. Jeez Louise. Thing is humongous. All right. So,
anyway, that's where Dolly Parton could, you know, get a burger on the road.
Okay. There we go. We cleared that up. Thank goodness.
Yeah. That's why that came out.
She says she likes to go get hot donuts now and again in their 55 year marriage. We'd love to get out in that little camper of ours and drive through restaurants. Parton says,
you could just hear her saying that. We just love to get out in that little camper of ours and drive through restaurants. That's right. Carl, stay out of the camera view, Carl. Don't come out here, Carl. Nobody wants to see Carl.
She says she visits Taco Bell when she craves tacos. I like soft shell tacos, so do I. I like the others, but they fall apart so bad because if you're riding around, it's so hard to keep a taco supreme with the sour cream and all that in the soft shell. I love that. She says, or it's easier to keep it in the soft shell. She says, I get an order of rice and beans, she continued. I get mild sauce. I don't like to get too hot and ruin everything. Ruin everything. I wonder what that means. Probably this.
Diarrhea.
Anyway, she's just, you know, she's all about the Mexican pizza is the point.
And, she is. And I you know, apparently she... The rice and beans, I don't remember. That must be a newer thing. I remember they had the pintos and cheese for a long time, but...
oh, yeah. Right.
Don't know if they still have that.
I bet you could maybe do that.
Hey, how many tacos have you had?
I have had... Oh, my gosh. What is happening? Why is the spreadsheet freaking out? Did you see this?
Yeah.
Weird. I don't know what happened.
It's like you deleted our articles.
I don't know what happened. All right. We'll leave it there. Anyway, sorry. Okay. Ask that question one more time. What were you going to say?
How many free Taco Bell tacos or taco lovers past tacos have you had?
So I think I'm still only at 5 total. Yeah. And our time's running out.
Also.
Right? Aren't we due like a week from now or something? We're done.
I think I bought it on the 10th.
Okay, that's
so
same day. So
we still have a week and a half.
All right, there's still time.
We've paid for our tacos. I mean, we've definitely
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. We could walk away from this and go, we spent $10
just walk
worth of tacos.
Away.
Yeah, just walk away. We just want the Mexican pizza. Just walk away. All right. Here is a fun Colorado story for you here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Colorado deputy with an OnlyFans account retires after being discovered by female officer. This is a sheriff's deputy with $30,000 separation agreement. Instead of facing an internal investigation over a OnlyFans page she owns, quote, I was a really good cop. I was a really good cop and I was a really good leader. She said two of that twice for some reason.
She did. I was a really good cop.
Period. Yeah,
really good cop and I was a really good leader.
Okay, I guess it kind of works. I don't like when people say things twice. It's like, we sure do, Bill. We sure do. Like that? I don't like that. Bugs me. Anyway, yeah. She's 48 years old. She told KDVR. Is that a local deal for you there?
It is. It's our local Fox affiliate.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
They told this to their problem solvers team. Mm. F that.
Every friggin'
hate that though.
Local newscast. Problem solvers. If you got a have you got a problem that you can't solve, send it to us, the problem solvers.
Hate it. Hate it. It's my least favorite thing about local news.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I think I could.
You could name another.
Name a thousand worse things.
There's a whole list of reasons we shouldn't like our local news. Williams was in law enforcement for 28 years. That's a long time. Spending the last 11 with the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office, and most recently served as lieutenant in a detention center. She had this OnlyFans account for 18 months without any problem, but then workers found out. A female officer in a nearby police department filed a complaint. I think some people viewed what I did for fun as being a sex worker, but I'm the same as anyone else's neighbor, their friend, mom, daughter. I'm still the same person I was for the 18 months the page existed and nobody knew. Anyway, here's what happened. She still operates the page. Subscribers pay a monthly fee, as they do on OnlyFans, to see Williams nude. Or in sexual encounters with her husband.
In the nude.
Williams said she posted the content when she was off duty. She never was in uniform in any of the content she posted and never identified herself as a law enforcement officer. I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know that this should matter and she should get fired for this. Why? Why?
Yeah.
If it's not, like, it's like saying, if
it's
I worked
at... She's not doing it in uniform. She's not, you know... flaunting the she's not making it sound like hey, look at me, I'm a salacious sheriff's deputy.
Yeah.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah. I just don't know what the I don't know. Like I guess I haven't been in the workaday for a long time, so I guess you have policies and it's whatever. Yeah. But you have to adhere to whatever, but I don't know.
If I had an OnlyFans porn page, Scott, would it affect my podcasting career? I don't think it would.
No, it would affect my ability to not laugh at all the time. I would have to laugh all the time. I'm trying to think, like, you can do an OnlyFans page where you're just talking to people.
Yeah, totally can.
In fact, I think their original...
It won't make any money, but you can totally do that.
Yeah, that's true. Because I think the original plan, their original, like, business idea was, hey, there's a lot of people on social media. What if they had a place where you can only hear their thoughts and feelings and stuff if you pay to hear it? Yeah. So it's just like, you know, it's like bonus content on a Patreon or, you know, any number of other paywall-style things. And then people just went... Well, this is a place I could show my doodle. That's what happened.
Exactly. Yes.
Bitsofibbit.com. Where does that go right now?
Is that available, Monkey Bananas? I hope so.
Nope. Can't be reached. Damn it.
Oh, darn it.
But that means it's probably available, Brian.
That means it's available. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, well, if you're like me, you've got a bunch of domains you'll never use. So why not add one more to the list? I really need to clear out my domains. There are too many of these effing things. Do you have that? Do you have like a load of domains you're never going to do shit with? Because I do.
Yeah. Yeah, although some of them I've got because I want them to redirect to Coverville. But there's a couple on there that's like that are like, oh yeah, you know, that is a website I would like to eventually do.
Yeah.
And it's just like, when am I going to find the time to do that in addition to all the other stuff?
That's a valid point.
Scott, I'd have to stop playing Astroneer is the problem.
Oh,
and
no one.
As soon as I finish Astroneer, and I don't even know what the, how do you finish Astroneer? I don't even know. I guess having bases on all the different planets and turning on all the portals and stuff. Yeah. But once I'm done with that, then it's on to Pokemon Arceus.
That Pokemon game is getting
braves.
Have you
played? Did you pick it up?
No, I'm still... I didn't. I need to beat freaking Zippity-Doo-Dah over there. What's that called? Ghost of Tsushima. I need to beat that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Beat your
ghosts. I need to get through that first, and then they got this Forbidden West coming out in like 2 weeks. We're screwed. Video games. What are you going to do?
I know. Yeah.
Hey, Pastor Mike Todd in the news. Final story today. Mike Todd, two first names.
Yep.
He apologized for rubbing spit on a churchgoer's face. What grossed Scott out the most this week? This is it.
Ooh, oh my God. Just the description of this.
I know. It's foul.
I don't like any of it whatsoever.
Here's what he said, or here's how it goes. Religious services Sunday in Tulsa, Oklahoma went viral after Pastor Michael Todd was recording spitting into his hand and then rubbing it all over the face of a parishioner.
Do not want.
Nope. Do not want. No, thank you. In the clip, Todd, the pastor of the Transformation Church, they should call that Spit Town USA. I don't know. What would you call it?
Our Lady of the Holy Saliva.
Yeah. That's it. Also, perfect title. Someone write that down. It's good. He cupped his hand and wiped a large glop of saliva and phlegm on the face of a man. Yeah, they had me. They lost me at glop.
Oh, really? Yeah. Before the phlegm, huh?
Well, glop implies so much, and phlegm is just there in the glop. I don't know. I don't want anything to do with glops of anything.
You know, it just proves that organized religion is just a bunch of flim flam.
People were mad because, you know, also you did this during a pandemic, but whatever.
Well, yeah.
Transformation Church, Michael Todd has apologized for doing that and did it from the sermon. In the video posted Monday on Twitter, he apologized for his actions. His caption reads the following, quote, "It's never my intention to distract others from God's word and the message of Jesus, even with illustrations. I apologize for my example being too extreme and disgusting. I love everybody," he says.
I love the capitalized I love everybody.
I love everybody. Yep.
I can't see this text and not hear it in like Jim Baker's crying voice. You know, like, "It's never my intention to distract others from God's word and the message of Jesus."
Hold on. That wasn't Jim Baker. That was...
Oh, it was Falwell. It was a Falwell?
Jerry
Falwell, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Remember that? And then what's his name on SNL did a really good version of it. Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman, yes, yeah. Right.
So you come on Church Lady as Jerry Falwell and fake cry on the Church
right.
Lady.
It's that's fantastic. Right, yes.
Yeah, that was a time. Oh, Jimmy Swaggart.
Was it
not Jimmy?
Jimmy Swaggart was.
Jimmy
yeah, okay.
Swaggart? Who? Why, Falwell?
I mean, he was another one of those dudes, but I don't remember. Who was the one who said, "I've sinned in my heart"? I thought that was Baker.
No, well, maybe. The one that cried is definitely not Baker, though.
Okay.
Was it Swaggart? It must be Swaggart. Was it Jimmy Swaggart? Man, those guys all suck. Freaking F all. Yeah, every one of them, F them. They suck. You guys suck. You're bad examples. You fleece everybody for every penny they have. You freaking suck. And now Jim Baker has some show where he hawks barrels full of survival goo or whatever.
Yeah, it's survival food. It's like Home Depot barrels of survival food.
It's like goop for idiots. I hate those people. I really, really, truly, truly hate those people. So, sorry. I'm not supposed to hate people, but...
Yeah, they're deserving.
Can't stand them. Can't stand them. They just prey on dummies and weak people and old people, and we're part of the problem.
It's sickening.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's not going to do it anymore. He also went on to say, quote, "That was a distraction to what I was really trying to do," says the video. "I was trying to make the word come alive and for people to see the story, but yesterday it got too live, and I own that." I
was blowing COVID away.
That guy.
And some spit came out.
That guy's the worst.
He's the worst. He's the absolute worst.
What's his name?
Okay, there it is. Yeah, Benjen found it. It was Jimmy Swaggart, the whole I have sin in my heart.
Here, let me... Why not enjoy this in a modern context?
Sure.
Let's put it up here and let's get a little audio out of it. Okay, here we go. Here's Jimmy Swaggart. I think I can get him on screen. This isn't going to break any copyright, I don't think.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
I have sinned against you, my Lord.
Oh, that's what it was.
And there are people in the back going...
And I would ask that your precious blood...
Precious butt?
It's real to me.
He's the wrestling guy.
And cleanse.
Oh my gosh, shut up. How long between this and the next time you put your wiener where it didn't belong? Like five exactly. minutes, 10 minutes maybe? A-hole. Screw these guys. They drive me crazy.
All right. Jessica Hahn passed away, didn't she? She's not still around.
Jessica Hahn? I don't know.
Well, she was the whole Jim Baker thing.
Oh,
I think she...
Like, we can find out. No, she's still alive.
No, she's still alive. Okay.
Yeah. She's not that... She's not too old. 59.
All right. She's not too old.
I mean, she's 10 years our senior, so...
I guess she was connected for a while to Sam Kinison, wasn't she? And,
Oh, was she? Weird.
Yeah.
Well, he was a preacher, too, for a while, right? Before he went to comedy or something? Didn't he start out as a preacher, Sam Kinison?
Did he really?
Wow. Yeah. I think so. Did I have that
right? Would make sense.
Okay, here it is. Oh, yeah. That voice, you know that's where that
former
freaking voice
Pentecostal
came.
Preacher, yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
There he is.
And I know he passed away, so maybe that's the connection that I was thinking of is
he had the cocaine.
Sam Kinison and Jessica Hahn.
So where's this Jimmy Swaggart fella? Where's he at these days? Jimmy.
What's he doing?
Yeah, you know the guy's got
you know
no
he's
talent.
Got sin.
Let's see. Jimmy Swaggart. Okay, Jimmy Swaggart is still alive.
Still alive.
Yeah, born in 35, very old now.
I have sinned.
I forgot he's a cousin of Jerry Lee Lewis.
I have put my penis where it didn't belong.
Jerry Lee Lewis, that's funny.
Yeah.
Because that guy married a 13-year-old or whatever.
He married his 13-year-old cousin, yeah.
Nice. Well done, guys.
So I guess he's related to both Jerry Lee Lewis and his first wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonder what Thanksgiving's like at the Swaggart house. No thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Forgive me, I have sinned against this turkey. Put my penis where it didn't belong in the turkey.
All right, that's it for your stories. We're going to come back in a minute with some time with Bill Duran. We got some science talk today with Bobby. Before all of that, we got to play a song. Brian, did you bring one?
Yeah, we got a singer from, she's currently from Berlin, but she's originally from Ireland.
Oh.
Her name is Wallace Bird, and she has 9.5 fingers. She's also got a brand new song. Two singles that she's just released from her upcoming album, Hands, which is she named after her 9.5 fingers. let's see. The actual album title is Hands 9.5 Songs for 9.5 Fingers, which comes out May 27th.
Nice.
You'd never guess. She sounds like she's got 10 fingers in this track. Mm. What's Wrong with Changing? Here's Wallace Bird.
All right. We'll be back in a second. Stay tuned.
Yeah, I want to know. What's wrong with changing? In 2001, when I was 18 years old, still in my uniform, educated, uninformed, a war raged out in front of me, showing me racism and lies, and I began to see the world through different eyes. Then I moved to London. By the age of Cameron, I was stood at Brixton Station, holding the phone against cops' faces. I stopped and searched a black child just for running for their bus. And it was then I knew we had no one to trust. Yeah, I want to know. Let's move.
move forward a little bit, a little bit forward to 2015. The island of Ireland is making a real big scene. Kay Mara told it, yes, Patty Bliss is the queen. And there's loads up there. It broke the church from the state to repeal the eighth. And now it's moving in a positive way, and you love to see it. And yeah, and yeah.
What can you do with a trophy? Trophies don't spend, collect dust. That's about all you can do with a trophy. Trophies are nice. The guy at the bank doesn't care how many trophies you got. Oh, you're going to put a trophy up for collateral. Yeah. Well, the guy at the bank doesn't think so, and I don't either.
Have you ever had for a number on Pinlium Potia?
The Morning Stream. It's what's in the yogurt.
All right, we're back, everybody. That song once again.
The song is called What's Wrong with Changing by Wallace Bird.
I follow a guy on TikTok that has a thumb, a middle finger, or a finger that's about the size of your first two fingers together. And that's about how thick it is.
Okay.
And then a pinky, and that's it. So this is like
he's kind of built for the shocker.
Yeah, he actually is. Now that you mention it, hadn't thought of that. He is like, oh my gosh. You know, I only learned what the shocker was about 10 years ago. That was news to me. I had no idea until someone said, "Hey, look it up on Urban
Dictionary."
Urban Dictionary. Like they always do. They always send me there, and I always end up disappointed. Never happy when I go there.
No. It's like WebMD. It's, you know, you never walk away feeling better than before you looked at that site.
It's kind of hilarious because that site, you'd think WebMD was probably founded as like, hey, a resource.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to learn how to take care of health issues, and I'm going to learn. But no, you just go there going, I've got 18 kinds of cancers, and they're all in my butthole, you know?
Exactly.
It's no good. Yes. All right, Bill incoming. Got Bill swooping in, like he does.
Swoop, swoop, Bill, swoop.
Here's the proof.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
We have opened his bat cave, and we now peer in once again to the workings of punishprops.com and its own Bill Duran, curator, founder, and all-around talented guy. Bill, welcome back to your segment.
Hello, good morning.
Hey, man.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
We got a new video out over on the website.
What?
On the YouTube and everything.
I saw the hilt of a sword, but I have not watched the video yet.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, no, Phil.
Yeah, tell us more about your, I mean, you know, you're not, it's not like you're unknown for sword making, but what hath you done?
So a while back, I made a Highlander lightsaber, one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah.
And at the time, we purchased the electronics for the lightsaber. We purchased two of them. I got one. Brittany got one. Time to make Brittany her lightsaber.
Oh.
She made a Lord of the Rings themed one. It's Aragorn's Sword of the King as a lightsaber.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's really rad. Yeah. So wait, she went purple with her light?
Right. We were thinking... Yeah. That was a good kingly color.
Yeah, it's also
a
very
regal color.
Sam Jackson, Mace Windu kind of.
That's right.
Business.
That's right.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. So
his is the lightsaber with the handle that says "bad mother effer" on it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So so tell us why this? Why did she choose this over some other sword or design?
Britt's super, super into Lord of the Rings. She has been ever since I met her over 20 years ago. And we were trying to decide, right? Like, there are a lot of Lord of the Rings swords you could go with.
Mm-hmm.
But the Sword of the King is just so imposing, so iconic. We had to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We've seen other people do different versions. I've seen a Sting out there. Actually, there's a Teffan Props, T-E-F-A-N, I think. Yeah. They made a bunch of different ones, like the, what's his name, the Horse King.
Oh, what's he called? The
Rohan dude. Losing my mind.
Shit.
Theoden. Man. Yeah.
I mean, the one with worm tongue's tongue in his ear all the time. That guy.
Yeah.
Theoden.
So they made his sword as a lightsaber. They made all of them, but the Sword of the King is just so cool, and it's also gigantic. So the website that we bought our electronics from, you can order a blade in various lengths, and we got whatever the biggest one they had. So it's just massive sword.
Yeah,
that's cool. The guts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go to Disneyland and get the Savvy's Workshop guts.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I believe it was Saberforge. That's the company we went with for all the guts. And it worked out awesome.
Nice.
For the actual sword handle part, we have a new resin 3D printer. The company AnyCubic reached out a while ago. They wanted to send us one of their printers to play with. So we got the Photon Mono X. And the new... This is sort of the new generation of resin printers that have come out in the last couple of years are so much cheaper than they used to be, and they are really, really good.
Yeah.
I was blown away. I did some test prints of very small things, and it just does an extraordinary amount of detail.
Is that a new huge wash and cure station, like a larger size one?
Yeah, it's the same size as the old printer. And I wanted to talk about that even more than the printer. The wash and cure station is the MVP.
Mm. It is. It totally is. Yeah.
Mm. So working with this resin, it's sticky. It's smelly. Everything you touch ends up getting some resin on it. And when you finish your print, it's still got that film of resin on it that you've got to wash off.
Mm-hmm.
The curing station, it has a giant bucket that we fill with isopropyl alcohol. You dump your fresh print right in there. Fresh prints in there.
Yeah.
And it's got a magnetic stirrer in it that agitates it and cleans it all off. And then you swap that bucket for a little plate that rotates your model and shines UV light on it right in the same unit. If you're going to get into resin printing, get the washing and curing thing as well.
See, I upgraded my printer and got a larger model printer, but I have not upgraded the wash and cure machine. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I'm doing a small print, no problem. It still fits in there. But, like, the stuff I did, the Batman that I did for Scott, I had to manually wash and cure as opposed to being able to use the cure station for this.
Like, yeah. Stepping back into the dark ages.
I know, right? Exactly. Like, what a Tupperware tub full of isopropyl alcohol.
Here it is, still unpainted. I got to work on this, but
our setup is it's great. You can take the entire print bed right off of the printer and just dunk it right in that vat without even taking the
I need. That's mm-hmm. totally
it's
what I need.
It's bananas. Okay.
How big is it? Is it you know, how much space is it going to take up? I guess your
the
station?
Machine is like a foot and a half by a foot and a half by like 2 feet tall.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not too big.
It's just a little bit smaller than the printer itself.
Mm-hmm. When people call things stations, I always in my head I picture a giant thing, but I guess
right.
Yeah.
So that's what we used. Britt 3D modeled all the sword parts, and the original design of the sword hilt was modified a bit so it could fit all of the lightsaber parts in it. And obviously the blade is a different shape, so that had to be accommodated for.
Yeah.
All of the parts were printed. It went pretty well. We still have a lot of... We got to figure out our recipe for our prints with that machine. We kind of overdid it on the supports. We just put a ton of supports in there to make sure that it would successfully print. But that meant we had a lot of cleanup to do later on. Yeah. We'll dial that in, but...
Lots of dimples, or not dimples, goosebumps.
Yeah, goosebumps.
Right, right. Or right where the support pops out, it leaves a little indent. Yeah. Or a little protrusion. So
yeah.
Can you tell me about the runes on the bottom of the thing there? I know that's part of the design of the sword in general, but did the resolution of the printer's good enough to make that look good?
Yeah, it really is. So that's some elvish text in there. I'm not exactly sure what it's meant to say, but it's teeny tiny little text detail, and the printer was like, yeah, no problem. Got that.
Yeah, I think it says, I can now recede into the west and remain Bildran. I think that's what that is. Well, that's
so
cool.
We ended up having to do a bit of filling and sanding like we do on most of our props. In fact, if you watch the whole video, which of course I recommend it, we do a sexy sanding montage in the style of the pottery scene from Ghost. That I think was hysterical.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, you gotta find it. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There it is right there. Six minutes. 22 seconds.
Oh, I gotta find this. Hold on now.
I considered doing it shirtless as well, but I don't look anything like Patrick Swayze. And it was very cold down there.
Well, now we were talking about OnlyFans earlier. We got an idea for you, Bill.
We have Bill's OnlyFans.
Oh, new first
video. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to do a different cut for OnlyFans.
That's awesome. Look at you two smiling and just knowing that.
Aww.
Look at that. That's cute. That's a happy couple right there.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with this one. We took an extra hour just to film that.
That's awesome.
Scene.
That's amazing. All right. This is really, really nice. I'm jealous of everything you make, but this in particular is pretty sweet. I mean, you guys have arguments about whose is cooler now or what? How's that work?
I mean, I think we both have our favorites.
Okay.
Really weird.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's a good answer. You want to both be, you know, feel good about whatever hill you're dying on. It's good.
Right. Yeah. And also, they complement each other very well. The gold blade and the purple blade, they complement each other very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's...
of course, we jammed all the electronics in there. We had to put the buttons and plug in on the sword, but it turned out great. I'm so stoked with how it looks.
Yeah.
And it's just the coolest thing ever.
It's pretty great. Go check it out. That video's up now and doing brisk viewer business here, looks like, already. So be one of the counted views and check out the video at punishprops.com or the YouTube channel Punish Props. Bill, do you have any bonus content for the week?
Yes, another Maker YouTube channel. This one I just recently stumbled on. It's called North of the Border. He makes what he says is he makes tiny, nerdy things. Little models and stuff. Oh. And he made the house from Stardew Valley.
What?
And
look at that.
Brittany and I just recently in the last month or so put another 60 hours into a playthrough of Stardew Valley. So
Stardew Valley is really awesome. That game's great. It's so good. Yeah.
I did everything. I did everything in the game and I know I will do it again. I caught every fish.
Yeah.
And I know that sometime in my life, probably in the next 2 years, I will go and do all of that again. I love
that thing.
Stardew
blows
Valley.
Me away. In the it's a single dude made that game. It's crazy to me. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what he does next. He apparently is working on whatever's next. But
oh yeah, the something chocolate factory something.
It looked really cool. From what I've heard, it sounds really cool and just different enough to not just be here he is doing the same thing again. But yeah,
it doesn't
that game
have to
is
be
awesome.
Too different. I'll tell you what. Yeah.
That's
I'm so into that game.
I agree. It's very good. Well, this is crazy. I love miniatures and stuff. Carter, if you're watching this is your jam as well. She loves little stuff like this, and I love like recreations. Like I don't know if you saw my. I'm not trying to pimp my own thing here, but I did a thing with a SNES controller the other day, and this scratches the same itch for me. It's this feeling of like nostalgia for the thing you're making it about, but also like scale. Making it, I don't know, bigger or smaller than it normally is. There's something about that that just draws me to stuff. And
oh,
this
yeah.
Is just
make
like
make
that.
A thing. I've been playing with the augmented reality on my... I have a 3D scanner on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I 3D scanned a 10-inch robot model, and then in augmented reality, I can blow them up to be 100 feet tall.
Yeah.
When you change the scale of something like that, or I scanned my car, and then I shrunk it down to Matchbox car size.
Nice.
Like, there's something about making something either really way too big or way too small that makes it so much more novel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. We'll check that out. That is, North of the Border.
Mm-hmm.
Where you, literally, that's what Taco Bell is. It's north of the border, not south. So anyway, go check it out. There is that full video and, of course, punishprops.com for everything else. Bill, have a great week, and thanks for hanging with us once again.
You got it, friends.
Bye now.
See ya.
Bye, Beryl.
Bye.
All right.
It does not look like it'll fit. So the length of the build plate that I have on my Frozen Sonic is larger than this new wash and cure station.
Oh, it will man. Not fit. Is there another kind that would be closer? Or?
Not yet, but we'll keep my eyes out. I just need one that's 200 millimeters wide.
All right. I believe in your chances.
The one he has is 192 millimeters wide. Dang it.
I like your chances. All right.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Let's do some learning, everybody.
Yeah.
Science.
Bill Duran joins us for our science segment, as he does each and every Tuesday right after Bill comes on the show. And it's great to see you,
Bill Duran's here?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Well, he was. He just left. You missed him.
He's a star.
Missed him by about one Scott click.
Yeah. One click away. And my clicks are often abrupt and without warning. So you never know what you're going to get. Bobby, welcome to the show. It's nice to see you. How are you doing? Doing good?
I'm doing great.
That's great.
It's a nice brisk day here in South Carolina.
Yeah, you got the birds chirping, the rednecks doing stuff.
I think we called you Bill Duran. Is that what you're saying, Bobby? Is that
Did I call you Bill? Did I do that?
Yeah.
Oh shit! What am I doing? Sorry. Hey, look, it's me. You know what I'll blame
Bill
it
B.
on?
Bill B. Duranenberger. Welcome, Bill B. Duranenberger.
Bill B. Duranenberger.
Diarrhea.
Where's the diarrhea?
Let's build some science.
Sorry, I don't know why I did that. Hey, so it's good to have you here. Why don't you regale us with knowledge about science? What are you covering this week?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about science, as one does when you're a science podcaster. and I've been thinking a lot about how science has been on the mind of a lot of people during all this pandemic, right? It's kind
Indeed.
Of sure. yeah. in the forefront a lot. We're hearing a lot about scientists, the process of different types of science, or particularly medical science. But people have been talking a lot about science. And one thing that I've noticed is that a lot of people have the wrong idea about what science is. They sort of think that science is this like monolithic thing that or institution that just hands down or facts in the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that perspective of science can be problematic when you're faced with a thing like a pandemic where the process of science ends up being very transparent in a lot of ways, and you get to see it and hear about it every step of the way, and people see opinions change and things happening along the way, and it can confuse people because they think, oh, science is supposed to tell me what's true once and for all. And I thought, not long ago, I was talking about how I've sort of rechecked my mission as a science communicator and thought, I think it's important to talk about, you know, critical thinking and what science is more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it would be worth starting from the basics and just talking about what really is science. So I wanted to ask you guys, what if you had to define science to somebody, how would you define science? There's no wrong answer.
Okay. So this feels like one of Wendy's questions. Go ahead, Brian.
The truths that shape our world, the facts that that shape our world, our biology, our
okay.
knowledge. Yeah.
I would say science. That's a good one. So that would do, but also I would probably say
that'll do, Brian.
I would say it is the methods by which we try to understand the world around us, and I would probably sneak something in there about how it's ever evolving, changing as we learn more and more.
That's a really good definition, I would say. It definitely involves facts. We definitely engage with science, especially in school, in terms of facts. Like, that's how it's presented to us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Here are all the facts. But I think, Scott, your definition was very, I think it's very close to what I would call a complete, accurate definition of science. What I tell my kids is that science is the process we use to learn about and understand the world around us.
Yeah.
It's a method of exploration. It's definitely very iterative, like you were talking about, and it's never ending. That's an important aspect to it. And it's so when I'm defining science more thoroughly, I would say that it's a method of exploration that aims to explain the way the world works by starting from a guess about how the world works and then systematically using facts and observations to attempt to prove that guess wrong.
Right.
And then if any guesses that survive that process are added to our current understanding of how the world works, but it's our current understanding of how the works, because that can change.
Right. It's like the study of or the origin of the double blind test. I don't know when that happened or who's in charge of when that happened, but when that happened, that was obviously a monumental step forward in testing methods. And must have at the time been seen as, whoa, look, this is great. I don't, there's probably a whole history on this I could find somewhere. But that's the idea. Like, that's at the very essence of this thing. So at some point, someone looks in the sky and goes, I see a giant, round, white object. And someone else goes, it's the devil's eyeball or whatever. And you go, well, no, I think it's probably not. But we need to see if we can figure out what it is. Because right now, I couldn't tell you. It's made of cheese. And so you have to listen to all these people everywhere saying all their dumb shit. And then you have to say, well, okay, we can only observe so much. There's that guy in Italy. He's got a telescope. That's new. Let's see if we can get anything closer. Oh, it's some sort of heavenly body. We know that. So is it just sitting out there? Why does it change position? Like, it's that process of like ding, 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 and working your way into the middle of whatever your beautiful scientific sculpture will eventually be.
Right. And I think the way you're framing it right now is really important, because you're talking about it as science is very closely related to philosophy. And I think sometimes it's easy not to forget that or not really fully appreciate how science can be very closely related to philosophy, because there's an entire realm of philosophy called epistemology, which is it's sort of like an exploration of what we know, but not just what we know, but what we can know. The philosophical understanding of what is it possible to know, what is knowledge, and whatnot. And science is born out of that. You were talking about how, like, the creation of the double blind study, right? This is an epistemological method to say, okay, if we want to know something, and we know that by the very nature of the flawed nature of our brains and our senses and stuff like that, if we know that we can only know what our brains are capable of letting us know, so it's inherently flawed, how can we, given that knowledge of knowing there's this filter between us and the real world, how can we figure out what is really going on? And so in certain realms of science, like medicine and whatnot, we come up with these double blind things, because we science also acknowledges our faults as humans, knows that we have biases and we have preconceived notions, and the process of science tries to cut through all that and push that aside as best as we can, knowing that it's impossible for us not to have these biases. So how do we approach this as objectively as possible?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so, but another thing you mentioned was how you touched closely on is this idea of proving things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's a key fundamental aspect of science, is that science cannot prove anything true, and it doesn't attempt to prove anything true, right?
Right.
Because you can't know something is 100% true. This is just, this epistemological idea, this philosophy of knowledge idea, that that's the realm of faith, is to accept that something is true beyond faithfully and without accepting that it could be false. So science says, if we can't prove that something is true, then what we want to do is we want to do what you said. We want to chip away at everything that's around. Like, the truth is in there somewhere. So we want to figure out what are the things that are not part of this sculpture of truth. And we want to chip away at those things.
Right.
And so that's what the method of science does.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. It's what it should do. Unfortunately, some people think it's if they don't have an immediate answer, then it's all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that. That makes me want to smear my own spit on their face at a church gathering.
Right. They create their own science when they don't find the science that they want. They just create their own.
Yeah.
And it's super like circular too, right? Circular and iterative. You learn something about the world, and then that new knowledge, you have to use that knowledge to go back and update what you knew about the other thing, which then gets you further, and then now you know something new or you have a new tool, and so you have to use that to go back and explore everything again. Like the astronomy telescope idea that you mentioned is a really good one, because yeah. every time we learn new things and develop new tools, we go back and look at the same things over again.
Yeah.
And see what new things.
It's very iterative. It reminds me of like, I saw something about this not long ago and I can't remember where it was, but there's this famous use case photo of something happening. And when you have a certain angle on the photo, it looks like this guy is trying to steal somebody's purse. But then you find out later, oh, someone else has a photo of it from the rear. What's different? Oh, actually, it looks like he's not stealing your purse. He's chasing somebody else. But why is he chasing right. this other person? And then they have this wide shot where something's falling off of a building and this guy's trying to push this lady out of the way to save her. Completely different
right.
result of that observation of the exact same setup just from these other views. And so I think that's a lot like this. You start with what limited view you have. You know, for us, let's say it's a black hole. We know as much as we know about physics and interstellar stuff as we can know, but nobody's been in a black hole. Nobody's been floating around out there. Nobody has
right.
direct observation outside of telescopes and that sort of thing. So you have to fill in the blanks the best you can until eventually they'll figure out a way to send some kind of device out there that's capable of making its way through the hole and still broadcasting back what it saw and experienced. And then suddenly, dink, we go up a level in observation. Like right. that is it. That's the whole thing. And it doesn't matter if it's space or, I don't know, Brian figuring out the best way to make the Batman's torso. He's going to experiment right. and play around and go, oh, well, I've learned that. Now I'll do this because I learned that last thing and now I know this is going to work. You know, like that's the whole thing. That's it.
Right. And that's then there's this divide yeah. between the knowable and the unknowable. And that's another thing that scientists and people who look at the philosophy of science think about is what can we know, and equally importantly, what can't we know? And it touches on this very frustrating, I find it very frustrating, this very frustrating notion that I hear about sometimes, that there's this science versus religion conflict.
Yeah.
And I don't think that should exist, because science and faith are two ideas that are just incompatible. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way, mm-hmm. in a negative way. I mean that it just like oil and water, really. They will not mix because they're incompatible, but it doesn't mean that you can't take liquids and oils and put them together and like make a salad dressing that tastes good. It just means that you're not going to get them to go together because they're fundamentally different things. And they have their places. There are many scientists of faith, and they live their lives perfectly fine. But it's this idea of understanding what can we know and what can't we know.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's what science is trying to do, is dig down into what we can know.
Yeah.
And everything we can know about it, and how do we do that? And it's never ending, like you said. And that's one of the important takeaways, is that it's never ending. It's always updating. And when we say, like, you remember when it used to be that you should eat some eggs every morning for breakfast, and then the next decade it was like,
never eat eggs again, yeah. You're going to die.
Wine has done that same thing, where wine right. is super good for you, super bad for you, super good for you.
Yeah. We're back to eggs are good, so that's fun.
Right. Yeah, but it's because we learn something about them, right? And we have to update our knowledge. And it's important to be humble about science and know what it's there to do. It's not there to tell you, like, to pronounce the truth on you. It's there to help you say, this is what we know right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why you have a whole show dedicated to here's what we know right now. In fact, you should have called it.
We talk about it weekly.
It should be called "Here's What We Know Right Now." But instead, it's All Around Science. Tell people where they can get it and why they should get it.
Slightly more confusing title, as I have come to find out since naming it.
Sure.
but yeah, the podcast is called All Around Science, and every week we talk about what it is that we know in the realm of science right now. And sometimes we do go back and say we've learned something new and things changed. You remember Venus? We talked about Venus and how they thought that there might be life in the atmosphere of Venus.
Yeah.
Well, they found out that that wasn't true.
Wow, great.
It turns out that it was a mistake.
Darn it.
But because we looked back at the data. But yesterday we released an episode and we talked about frogs. Scientists have chopped off a frog's leg and then they regrew it.
Oh,
oh, really?
Was there a happy little Frenchman off to the right who got his meal?
Never ending frog legs forever.
You can never perpetual frog leg generation. no, that's cool. Yeah. I didn't know that was possible. I mean, that's not the frog doing it on its own, though. They've figured out how to make this happen, or what? Or is this?
Yeah,
a
they did
kind of
some sort of. They created what they called a silicone biodome that they put the frog's leg in with a 5-drug cocktail, and they got the frog to grow its leg back almost completely functional.
Oh, good Lord!
We go into a lot of detail about why that's amazing and fascinating and very difficult and what the implications could
be. Yeah, the human trial's starting soon, everybody. Get ready to get your leg hacked off. They'll buy you lunch and pay you $5. Don't worry. Well, excellent. This is all good stuff. As always, Bobby, hanging out with you just tells us we need to learn more and do more. I don't know why I'm telling you that. Hey, have a great week. We'll see you next time. All right. Hey, there we go. There goes Bobby. That was fun. There was an actual Monday morning mashup yesterday, but we didn't play it because we had to play the Thursday thing. So I'm playing the Monday morning mashup.
We're always playing mashup catch-up.
Today, yes. We're playing mashup catch-up, exactly. Here that one is. And it's not titled very... It's not a great title. It's called Vag Bag. Okay?
Okay.
So maybe it's Vag Bag? I don't know.
Maybe it's Vag Bag or Vag Badge.
Let's assume the best, okay? And we'll play it. Okay. Here, see how it goes.
I'd rather eat a monkey's asshole with a rusty butter knife. Also, you've got the wrong number. Please take me off your list.
Okay, here goes.
Give me a link to some Focusall or something like that. Focusin.
Focusin. Ooh, ask Focusin. Your doctor if Focusin's right for you. This is a fun question. Somebody asked me yesterday, so I'm going to ask you. It's a little morbid thing to start out with, but whatever.
Oh, God, one of these.
If you could choose...
Lose a testicle or have to eat dog poop for the rest of your life.
Brian may have a better memory about this stuff than I do.
I do have a pornographic or photographic memory.
Right. Boobs, vaginas, penises, all of it.
Yeah. Thank you for explaining my joke.
Explain what pornography is.
Yeah, thanks.
The photographing of people's private parts. Told me I'm supposed to have the hots for a green M&M. I didn't understand that.
Oh, you don't? I mean, those high heels, come on.
I mean, they're pretty.
Who doesn't want to screw a sexy librarian piece of candy?
I rubbed this in my pocket while I was getting ready.
Scott, you're going to be playing for Martin in Nanaimo, BC, British Columbia, up there in the Canada.
It's pronounced Nanaimo. What the is a non-R-emo.
I've seen you be active, but I've never seen you sweat. No, I take that back. I have seen you drink a lot of liquor and then sweat, but that's not really sweat.
That's my buddy spelling gin.
Yeah. Brian's figured out how to focus all of his perspiration through his taint, so no one ever notices.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it's all taint.
Is that truck sweat? True. What is that?
We are not
Get worried.
Going to give you free code. Forget it. You're a piece of shit.
Oh, see, there is a penis. See it? Wait.
See, there's a penis. Look, Brian, see it?
He just moved the bag.
That's a pretty good penis. He wasn't there that long. It's a very good penis.
Graphic. Of all the penises I've seen, see, look at that.
Yeah. Does it make your taint sweat?
No, my taint is good. My taint is ice cold. Ice cold taint.
Okay. They put that in the old, we call it a spank bank. I don't know what ladies call it.
Oh, geez.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Do we? I don't know if we should speak for the male population.
I'll save that for the spank bank. No, just what? You guys were never teenagers? You guys never had a libido?
I don't know about this spank bank.
I'm trying to think of something funny that rhymes with canoe or...
The badge bag. The badge bag.
The badge bag. All All right, so Dunaway is in charge of the badge bag.
I'd forgotten that Dunaway was the one who coined the badge bag comment.
Yeah, well, plus it happened on film sack, so it wasn't even here.
That's right. Also, sick burn there, Jamie. Getting me back for pronouncing Nanaimo wrong.
Yeah, well done. That's all right.
Nanaimo.
Who would have known? No one knew until Jamie pointed it out. Yeah, nobody knew. Anyway, well done, Jamie.
Who's ever heard of that city anyway? Like that even exists? It's totally made up.
Is it even a real place?
Not even a real place.
Send us your emails that you paid for with your coins with holes in it. It's fine.
Oh my God, we're going to hear from the five people that live in that town and angry.
Yep. Send us your Deweys and your Louis or whatever you call them up there. You weird Canadians. All right. Oh, I have to look. I said all this Canadian stuff.
Canada.
Got to play that.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah, exactly.
We're done with the show, and we had fun. I did. Brian did. Did you? Yeah, I think you did.
Yeah, we did.
I had a great time today. So, if you had a great time and you're looking at your calendar, going, "Man, it's the first. What do I have to do on the first? Oh yeah, right. Finally, sign up to the TMS Patreon. Patreon.com/TMS. Do it today and get all the benefits that everyone already gets, but now you can be part of the cool kids group. That's patreon.com/TMS. Hey, right. Brian, we should leave, but to do that, we got a song to play. Do you have one to play?
I have one, and this isn't even a request. This is me requesting a song to play for the show. And so, dear Brian and Scott, I'm playing a song.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Good
Love
job.
The show, though.
Did you want to hear a...
Let's test the ship's phasers.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah, that let's have a too early get a fish sandwich.
Did you fish sandwich? Fish sandwich?
Hey, Jill. Too early get a fish sandwich.
Jill, here's Ibbot doing this.
Yeah.
Sausage. Look how long it is.
Sausage.
Oh, that was so long, dude. So
See?
Long. Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
let's get to this. So this is from the band The String Revolution. Brand new release. This is from an upcoming tribute to Randy Rhoads called Crazy Train. It is the title track. It's a cover of the song by Ozzy Osbourne. Here is a fantastic string version of Crazy Train. We'll be right back.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You're all a lot of hooey to me.
You're all a lot of hooey.
Hooey.
Weow.
Weow.